This interview with Kevon Gibbs was recorded on March 1st, 2022, during the Baltimore Youth Film Arts Workshop, Inside Stories, Perspectives on Incarceration.
My name is Kevon Gibbs. I'm 62 years old, and I've been out for 4 years and maybe 6 or 7 months now.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So we have our first question from anyone.
Oh, you say that again?
I was asking for our fellows.
Yes.
I'll hop in.
So any of our fellows.
Good evening, Mr. Gibbs. You said you've been out for about 4 years. Was that all on the same sentence, or was that several different?
No, that was the same sentence.
Mm-hmm. And could you describe the sentence and the original amount of time you received?
I received initially 40 years, and then unfortunately, while there in the prison, I added an additional 25 years to the 40, and I ended up doing a total of 40 years and 6 months flat. I was just released in 2016.
Thank you. All right, fellows, what questions does that spur?
I have a question. So, why did you go to prison in the first place?
I was charged with an assault and a robbery. And later, while there, I tried to escape, and that turned into a disaster, and I ended up, again, getting 25 additional years.
What happened?
Hold up, Ed. Ed, I love you, but go back to your point. Yeah, he said why he did it in prison. We need you to bounce off that a little bit. What was that like? What was that experience like? Remember what, when, why, where, how? That's a real key point that Mr. Gibbs just said. You know, he tried to escape. So I need you to come up with some deep question off of that thought alone. Go ahead, Ed.
Sure. So was the experience of prison so
We're talking about the escape, Ed.
Yeah, I know. So was it so unbearable to the point that you almost seemed like your only option was to escape, or at least attempt to?
Yes. Like I said, this was my first time ever going to prison. And as many people who have either seen movies or heard other people talk about what goes on in there, that was my first time there, and God willing, the last time. And the reality of the prison there at that time, I didn't know how to acclimate myself to that. It was a world that I had never experienced before. And like I said, this was in 1976, by the way, when I went in there. And it was a lot of killings, a lot of death in there. And I thought that my only way out was to escape. I didn't want to do the time that I was given. I just felt that the best way for me to get out was to escape. And that's what I did.
Could you describe your escape attempt, or is that a little?
Say it again.
Could you describe your escape attempt, or is that too personal?
Oh, sure. No, it's not personal. They say this happened in 1982, and I had already been incarcerated for about 5 years at that time. Me and two other guys, we was working within the Maryland State Penitentiary as janitors on the security floor. And while there, we had, it was on the Easter, by the way, we had taken the officers hostage, jumped into the security cage. And while there, we took their guns and all of that. And then we handcuffed them, went down, intention was to go down in the outside of the institution and free all the prisoners. Unfortunately, we needed one more person to do that. So our efforts was pretty much aborted because of that. We didn't want to jeopardize the whole escape. So we just walked right out the front door of the Maryland State Penitentiary on that Easter of 82, 2 o'clock in the morning, and the whole prison was, doors were open. And that's how that pretty much, I have some other details to it, but I don't want to, for the sake of time, I don't want to go into that unless you want me to. I don't have no problem with that.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbs. Any fellow want to hop in there?
Say it again.
I said thank you, and I was prompting a fella.
Okay.
I thought Tavon wanted to ask a question.
I actually did, but Lucas kind of asked my question, so I was just kind of stuck because he had asked the question I was about to ask. So.
Okay, what was that question? Because Mr. Gibbs has just said a whole bunch of things you can bounce off.
Firstly, how you doing, Mr. Gibbs? My name is Tavon Shipley. I'm with BYFA. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. Yourself?
My question was more so, what were the ramifications that occurred after the attempted escape? Like, what was your punishment?
I actually got out, me and the other two guys, we actually got out, and I ended up getting some more time added to my sentence, which I said earlier. Then when I was brought back to the institution, because I was hospitalized for like 4 months, because I was shot 9 times, and thank God I survived that. But the institution pretty much just put me on lockup for about 3 years, and then after that, the punishment, or at least that part of it, was over. Every time I went up for parole, it was pretty much denied because it was that particular escape was a major embarrassment to the Division of Corrections. My other two rap buddies, one was killed during the process of escape, and one was killed trying to escape later after he was recaptured. So I was the only one living amongst the three. So they was making me pretty much pay for all of what had happened. And that's why, again, ended up doing all my time flat, pretty much.
Man, this sounds like something made for a movie.
Well, that's what I'm working on now.
I'm speaking of
that now.
I thought I was just bringing that up just for conversation's sake, but you seriously got a movie coming out?
Yeah, it's in the preliminary stages now. It's just a matter of time that's going to happen.
I'm happy for you. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that. Yeah. Go ahead, Ebony. It's your floor.
Well, I actually want to bounce off of that because I actually just kind of raised my antennas up too. So when it comes to the whole film, like, you know, you guys making the film, like, are you actually like producing it, or are you writing like the script or anything? Like, what's your part in this film?
Well, no, I'm not producing it. A couple good friends of mine, they know some people who know some people. All I pretty much have to do is just show up and tell the story and let them do what they do. And I have to say this too. I don't glamorize wrongdoing. You know, I was just fortunate to have survived this, and I will use this story with hopes that it can help those the young people as well as other people too. You know, we all have a story to tell, and sometimes that story needs to be told to help somebody within their struggle or something that they may be going through with. And I think I was spared just for that purpose, just to be able to tell this story, because I was already in prison before I went to the physical prison. And that's another story.
Right. Okay, I expect some questions now after that statement. Come on, y'all, put on those thinking caps. He just said something that makes your brain stir. What was it?
So the comment that you just said about being in prison before actually physically being in prison makes me think about your time in childhood and growing up to become an adult and getting into the mindset of, you know, having these problems with authority. Can you describe your experiences with authority and how you have been influenced in your life surrounding that to lead to prison?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to say this too. I had my mother and father. I had a come from a great family. I had my parents. They was in my life, and they did what they could do, you know, for me and my other two sisters, as far as how to raise us, you know. But my mind pretty much rejected what I was being taught, what the morals that they was trying to teach me, you know. And even in school, I didn't do well in school, even though I made it to the 11th grade. I only had a fourth grade education, and they was only passing me just because they didn't want to see me the previous year. So I pretty much lived in a defilement of what I was being taught. You know, I didn't understand the value of things as a young person. That was my problem. I didn't understand the value of it, even though they continuously told me this and told me not to do that. And it just like went in one ear and out the other. They used to say, if you make your bed hard, you will have to lie on it. Now, and I later actually laid on that steel bed, that brick bed in the prison system. And that's when one of the realities hit me of the things that they used to tell me. So I wasn't a problem child. I just had problems, you know, that a lot of the young guys coming up then, you know, we tend to want to rebel against authority in the school and in the household, and we would get whipped, you know, our little butts whipped, but that wasn't enough to bring us into alignment. You know, I had to later learn the morals that they was trying to teach me the hard way, and even the education part too. You know, I was definitely in a mental prison, you know, and I continued in that prison. My feet followed that into, ended up in a physical prison. You know, prison is a mindset. It's a mindset. And I, once there in the physical prison, I realized how dumb I was. You know, I didn't have no education. And usually when a person fails in their education, they're usually going to fail in life, in my opinion, you know. And I had all the opportunities to be better, you know, to embrace education, you know, to embrace morals that they was trying to teach me. But again, like I said earlier, I lived in defilement of that. So I ended up already in the prison mentally before, like I said, I even went there. But I became free while in the physical prison. I became free there. Yes. And once you become free, truly free, you will never relinquish your freedom ever again.
It sounds like you say you've learned your lesson.
Oh, it's no doubt. No doubt about it. It was learned the hard way. You know, sometimes... we make our beds hard, and we have to lay on those same beds, our situations, you know. And I didn't realize that as a young person. I think also that's one of the major problems within the community and with the youth today. And unfortunately, many of them don't have fatherly figures. When I went to prison, many of their fathers was in the prisons with life sentences, and only ones left to raise the children was the women. And they did as best as they could under those conditions. And so when I'm seeing the youth out here today, I could see many of them didn't have that fatherly figure, and they ended up getting that figure within the streets, you know, out here in the streets right today as we speak. And they just as emotional and violent their reactions are, you know, but it's a cry out. It's really their way of crying out, as I understand it and see it, you know. There's a shortage of fathers, unfortunately. There's a shortage of men, and there's a depletion of them in the next generation. And so we're in a crisis. We're definitely in a state of emergency.
Who's next, Ebony?
All right, so I think we covered a lot about his time during prison and definitely before prison. So we need someone to kind of cover a little bit of life after prison.
Yeah, I can hop in. How you doing, Mr. Gibbs? I'm Cam.
I'm doing great. Good. Yourself?
So, yo, it's 2022. How, you know, what is life like for you? I mean, you haven't, you said you went in 1976.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so how was life in 76 compared to 2022?
Well, first of all, the family, I was pretty much first born under the concept that to raise a child, it takes a community to do that. I was born under that concept. And a lot of the families back when I was coming up, they embraced that concept, and there was more love and respect for each other. Because when I see you, I see myself. And if, when you see me, you see yourself. And if we are not seeing each other within each other, then there's a problem with that picture. So life for me back then, like I say, it was unlike it is today. Fast forward today, it's just the opposite of that. And I was appalled when I came home in 2016 and seeing the deplorable conditions that we're in as a people. So I say, and I see many are in prison out here. They just in the so-called free world, you know. Fortunately, I had family and friends and loved ones who embraced me and helped acclimate me to this new world order, so to say, because I had no idea things were like it is out here as it is today when I came home 5 years ago. It was just so disturbing, and it still is disturbing. You know, it's very disturbing. I remember my nephew one time told me, he said, I'm glad you coming home. You came home, but I'm sad that you had to come home to all of this. And he was so right. I had more peace in a lot of cases back in the physical prison than I have out here. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the reality of it. That's the reality of it, you know.
Next question.
I have a question, because you talked about freedom and having this sense of mental clarity and peace. Yep. I just wondered if you could expand on like what those things for you are.
Well, let me just define freedom for you. I like to use it, first of all, let me give an analogy. I guess I could best explain that. The highest point of a house is the roof, which is the dome. The highest part of the man's head, the highest part of the man is his head, which is the dome. It's really free dome, not free dumb. A lot of people buying the freedom, and that's what we're seeing out here. A lot of people doing a lot of dumb things, right? But in order to get the freedom, you need knowledge, accurate knowledge, historical knowledge, you know, your roots, you know. And while in the prison system, for me, like I said, because I couldn't read when I went to prison. I couldn't read. I learned there, you know, and I could actually pick up a book without and laugh without any pictures being in the book. So it opened up new worlds to me while there in the prison. You know, my mind, you know, once you change this mind here, the conditions around you will instantly change, you know. But unfortunately, like I say, in the today's society, a lot of people buy into the freedom part, you know, and a lot of knowledge that we've been taught. I had time to really examine everything I was ever taught while I was in the prison system. Everything. I'm talking about what my mother, my father taught me, what I learned in school, what little I learned. I had the opportunity to go back and examine all of that. And I concluded that much of which I was taught was inaccurate. And it was intentionally conveyed like that, you know, to mislead people, to keep them in the dark, which is, again, a form of prison, you know. Being there allowed me to really, like I say, free myself and to come out here. And now I'm out here with other people who I see, again, who are still in prison. but they just don't know it. So I try to connect with them, you know, as people who reached out and connected with me as well. It's just a new world order out here. You know, this is, I'm still adjusting to it. You know, I'm still adjusting to it. And especially with the technology, you know, this is like, this is like back in the day, the Jetsons, you know, futuristic stuff. this is a new world order for me, but I'm okay. I'm okay. And I got the guys that were in the system with me out here with me that help, we help each other. We are part of the Living Classrooms organization. So we help each other and lift each other up and try to reach out to the young generation.
We got a little time left. Somebody asked a quick question. Follow up to what was it? The Jetsons and technology?
Yeah. I got a question.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Gibbs. My question for you, I feel like it's kind of a fun question. I think you'll like this. Describe the music from, you know, the time that you went into the music now. Like, are you listening to any of this stuff now, or are you still, you know, holding on to the music, you know, that you was listening to when you got locked up?
Well, I'm old school. I've definitely still listening to the
music. That was a great time for music, man.
Yeah, the music, it's the quality of the music, you know, like I say, those concepts that I spoke, the concept that I spoke about earlier, about it takes a village to raise a child. There was a lot of love, a lot of unity in those songs, you know. But when I was a young person, I just was dancing to the music, but I wasn't really in tune with the concept. But once I actually was in the prison system and actually would hear what they were singing about, I say, wow, I can identify to that. Now, the music today, I like any type of music that deals with growth and development. Music, you know, something that you can eat, you know, and grow from. Something, you know, because many of the musicians and the artists, they use reality, they sing about reality, you know, and I'm all for that. Even the rap, I'm into the rap too. Longs, again, is something that you can grow from and learn from, because everybody, you know, have, like I said earlier, have a story to tell, and some express it through music, you know, and rap. So I embrace all of that, you know, but I'm not with the rap that degrades people, women and children and men. I'm not into that. That's the type of food that I tend to stay away from. It's about uplifting people, you know, uplifting people. And that's what I like to do, uplift people and connect, meet people where they're at.
Quick question, Mr. Gibbs. What piece of technology messed with you the most?
You said what piece of technology messed with me with the most? This phone right here. This phone that I'm on.
What was the problem? What was the problem?
No. Initially, when I was given my first phone, I didn't have no instructions. I was just, here, this is yours. And I struggled for hours at night. I mean, hours and weeks and days. But eventually, I'm a very determined person, and I eventually learned the phone, and I like it now. You know, I think it's good. It's good, especially when you can talk to people like we're talking now, and use Google Maps, because I still use it because I don't know my way around as good, so I use the map. So this is good. I like this.
Hey, let's get two more questions in, gang. Two more.
All right.
I know Regina put this big smile on her face when you said,
"Yes,
you like rap music, man." Her face just went, whoa.
Yeah. Cool.
Because it was surprising. I feel like, okay, so I grew up around older people, my parents, my grandparents. They listened to Stevie Wonder. They listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire, all that. So I know all that. And so nowadays, when I usually hear people talk about today's music, ultimately, it's always a negative connotation. So to hear someone say that they actually like it, but focus it on music that talks about uplifting and centering growth, like that, people forget that exists. And I think what happens is the market or the media, it definitely affects how we see things. And so I love that you talk about your experience with, like, you know, making your dome a safe space to be open to a world that does include that. So that was
awesome. Always remember, never stop learning, because life never stops teaching.
Okay.
Keep that in mind. Ebony, are we good for one more? The final question of the night.
All right.
Yeah, I think we can do one more. We have a little bit more time.
What do you think about the class? I mean, have they asked you some good questions so far?
Oh, we actually have Mark who wants to ask a question. I see his hand raised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Gibbs, say what you want to say real quick about, I just asked you real quick, what do you think about our fellows and their questions? And then Mark, you get the finale of the night.
First of all, I appreciate the young people, and I appreciate what you're doing, connecting with the elders, you know, and this is bigger than just prison. You know, I believe in teach one, reach one. You know, just like you have a story to tell me as an older person. A lot of older people think that the young people can't teach them anything. I'm not one of those types. I know you can teach me something and I can teach you. And that's what it's about. Teach one, reach one, and reach one, teach one.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Mark.
Yes, thank you. So my question to you, sir, is where do you see yourself if you hadn't gone to prison?
If I would have continued in my ways, dead.
Can you explain that?
Okay. Again, I wasn't living righteously. You know, I was attracted to the unrighteous way of living. You know, I lived in, like I say, defilement and violation of what is right. You know, I became, you know, this old saying says, you are what you eat. So I became that, you know. I would have probably ended up dead, you know, because I was living foul. There's an old saying that if you're not a good tree bearing good fruit, then you will be uprooted and thrown to the fire, meaning destruction. And we're seeing a lot of people right today who are not a good tree bearing good fruit. They're bearing evil fruit. And usually evil, the end of evil is evil, you know. So I believe I would have, if I'd have continued in my path, my wicked ways, yes, I would have pretty much had an early demise. And I'm not going to say the prison saved me, too. I have to say that, too. Some say, well, the prison saved me. No, it wasn't the prison who saved me. If you remember, for those who may read the scriptures, Jonah went in as a prisoner and came out a prince. Nelson Mandela went in as a prisoner and came out a president. So it's what you do while you're there.
Wow. What a wonderful way to end this session tonight. Thank you, Mr. Gibbs. We sure appreciate you, man.
Yes, anytime. Yeah, I appreciate it myself. I really appreciate it.
I think we have your phone number in our files, and I will personally be back in touch with you.
Once we put all this together
and get it for our website for you to see, but I'll give you a call once we get all that together, probably within a month or so, but I will get back to you.
Yes, and my number you can give to everybody who's on this line if you want to just talk beyond this, because to me, I'm obligated to reach back to the young people as the elders reached to me. I'm under a moral obligation here. I have to do this. I love doing this. I embrace this. This is who I am and who I've become.
It sounds like it was therapeutic for you tonight speaking.
Yes.
It made you feel better getting some of this out. I know you think about your experience a lot, but to actually talk about it like this is healthy for you.
Oh, yes, it's always healthy. Yes, it's definitely healthy, you know, because while I'm out in the society, I make myself available to talk to people. You know, I need to talk to them. I need to connect with them. I just can't walk around with this in. This is bigger than me. My story and what I just as other people's stories need to share them. You know, like I said, somebody may be hurting. Somebody maybe need a good ear to give them a good ear. You know, you never know. A smile, you know, just a smile. You know, and I'll say this in conclusion, too, because I know y'all get ready to go. A good character is better than silver and gold. Why? Because people generally going to remember you by your character, how you made them feel at the end of the day and at the end of their life. You know, you may have a depletion in your money, but never have a depletion in good character. You know, I had to learn that the hard way. And then people generally going to remember you by your character. Either you're going to have a good, you're going to leave a good taste in their mouth when it comes to your name, or you're going to leave a bitter taste in their mouth when it comes to your name. So this is about character for me.
See, that's what I love about this class. It's more than just interviewing you about your experiences, but you're a life coach too. So if anybody else just wants to say so long.
I have a question.
Gibbs, y'all go right ahead.
Yes.
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, babe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So
no,
I know
you
mentioned.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. So I know that you mentioned about, you know, you having this film. So the film would take place in the city of Baltimore, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, I don't know if you need any like people for the crew. I mean, definitely, I'll be interested if you need anybody to be a part of like your crew, for sure.
Okay, well, you have after this, give me a call at some point. You have my number. Give me a call.
Okay.
Anybody that goes to anybody that's on the line now. Mm-hmm.
You'll be hearing from me. You will definitely hear from me. We got some things coming down the road, and you and I will talk one-on-one.
All right, sir. All right. Again, I appreciate this opportunity, and I don't take it lightly. I don't, you know. Where it's a matter of life and death for me.
Yes, sir.
All right.
We'll
thank
be talking
you.
Back God with you soon, here. You take care of yourself. God bless you.
God bless you, too. God
soul,
be safe.
Brother.
All right.
Hey, look, did you want to say anything? Mm-hmm.
I was just saying thank you, and it's been incredible to hear it all, and I wish we had this time two times over.
Yes, sir. And I love y'all being in the position that y'all in, man. I really do. Y'all the future, you know. And I have to see, when I first went into prison, the older guys embraced me, and many of them expired in prison, but they just felt that they was obligated to reach back to the young people. And I feel the same way. You know, I feel the same way. I love connecting with the younger people, you know, and they love connecting with me once they get to know me. So again, thank y'all.
Working with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Love you, bro. Take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
All right. Well, okay. Thank you, sir. God bless y'all.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.